Hello, 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 Power Kids, and welcome to another Power Kid podcast. Guys, every episode, it is my honor, joy, and privilege to bring you conversations with people from all over the industry and all over the world making great things for kids. I am your host, Phil Albritton, and I am super excited about the show today. I've got Nick Christensen on the line. Let me introduce you to him. He was previously the head of analytics and SEO. He is now the head of Amazon at 3Pipe Reply. Nick has spent his career helping businesses hone their digital marketing efforts and build brands online. He's got clients like Tomi, VTech, and Mookie. He is here to share his best Amazon strategies with the toy industry. Nick, welcome to the show.
Hi, and thanks for having me on.
Oh, absolutely, Nick. I think this is going to be a super fun conversation, getting to the nitty gritty of what it takes to win on Amazon. But we're going to start where we start. How did you come to be involved in the toy industry?
Well, look, I think as a business, we are a full service performance agency, and we were pretty industry agnostic. But the way I suppose that we started out, we were picking up quite a lot of clients in the toy industry on the PR side, as well as a few others. And I think pretty much when we launched our Amazon and Marketplaces division about 3 years ago, we saw that the toy industry was one that had a huge opportunity on Amazon across Europe and as well as the US. I think the brands were really just getting started on there, trying to understand what works on Amazon as a growing player in the space. So it was the first opportunity we saw. We had an existing clientele that we talked to, and then now we've become a toy industry experts.
Fantastic. Nick, I'm interested in the history of toys on Amazon. Is there anything that you can tell us about the past and when the toy industry and Amazon crossed paths? I know there was an early deal with Toys R Us and Amazon that fell through and was disastrous. But what else did you see at that time, kind of early days, the toy industry and Amazon crossing paths? What can you tell us about that?
Well, I mean, I think, how people shop on Amazon is quite important. And I suppose if you look at a lot of the data, Amazon is quite a gifting location. And looking at toy gifts on Amazon was just, I guess it was a matter of time before that happened. I know, obviously, with Toys R Us, going under over that period, there was a lot of shoppers that needed a new place to find their toys. So I think when you look at it over the history, we are seeing gradual growth on an annual basis within the industry, and more recently, with COVID, we've just seen that accelerate a lot quicker as well. Obviously, the industry has changed a lot on Amazon over the last few years, but I think it's a gradual accumulation of customers and audiences on the platform.
Yep. Typically, I refer to the toy industry as a show me industry. We love to touch and feel and try me in the stores. We love to have our customers be able to play right there in the aisle. Obviously, that's something you can't do on Amazon, but the environment has changed. The retail environment has completely changed, and we don't shop the way that we used to. In what way has Amazon maybe pulled us away from that try me mentality, where it's perhaps not as important as it used to be, especially if you're selling, to Amazon?
I mean, I think they have. I mean, if you look at what Amazon, you look at Amazon, right? No platform has as much consumer data as they do. Like I said, their objective is to make sure that they are able to move as many products as possible. I mean, you look at their product pages, you look at their, the way that their search engine works for product discovery. I think that's definitely lessened the need for the try me. I think if you look at their product page, look at the amount of images, the videos, the enhanced content, the product reviews, of course, that will definitely have an impact where, those reviews will help you make that purchasing decision at the end. And I think that's definitely the shift that Amazon has made. And you can kind of see this as well, in other retailers, that they are, taking that template of those product pages that are able to convert the user through enhanced content, through reviews, and through detailed descriptions of products.
Let's talk about that. So walk us through brand development, brand story that you can leverage on Amazon right now that was previously unknown. You really couldn't tap into that until we had Amazon and some of the tools available to us there. What's the best way to leverage your product on Amazon?
Well, I mean, yeah, there's lots of different ways. I mean, I think, you know, I guess it probably goes a little bit back in history on this one where a lot of the toy brands and even other brands, always thought of Amazon as a, you know, you compete on price, you compete on promotions, and that's where you get sales. But actually, interestingly enough, you're seeing, you know, Amazon shift more into the social space and shift more into video, shift more into brand stories that you can produce on your, you know, mini pages called brand stores. I think there are a lot of different ad formats you can reach out to the consumer now on Amazon. You can launch your regular, you know, CPC ads, but you can actually have video ads. You can have display ads as well, where you can actually show creative, across the platform. So there's a lot more that you can do on Amazon to reach the undecided consumer now by telling your brand stories, where, you know, a lot of these ad formats, a lot of these, I guess even the brand stories, it's still relatively new. And we look at a lot of brands and they're not, a lot of them aren't actually using these new formats where you can tell stories, where, you know, these stories are the stories that are able to, you know, convince that consumer that is in market to buy, but it's still undecided.
Yeah, I love that brand store feature in Amazon right now. Mm-hmm. It is essentially a website for your brand that exists inside the infrastructure of Amazon, which is a really powerful thing because you're just that much closer to a click to buy situation, which I really, really like. The struggle is always getting the customer to your page, right? To discover your product, to find out what they like about it, to find those reviews, to be interested enough to go there. What does 3Pipe Reply do on the front end to help customers find their way to your client's product on Amazon?
Well, I think you probably, on that question, it's probably worth taking a step back to look at what the customers, you know, are actually interested in, what they're looking for, the, you know, types of toys, you know, the features, because Amazon actually provide us with all that data. They provide us with every unique search term that's used on the platform. So we generally start there. We start at, you know, what is the Amazon audience interested in? We match that across, you know, our clients, and you know, what are the products that we need to prioritize, and the products we need to prioritize, you know, there's a couple of ways that you can drive more traffic to your listings. I think one is through the listing itself, which is, you know, making sure that listing converts as well as possible through assets, through images, through videos, through having titles that, you know, that are clear about what the toy is, having bullet points on there, using your A+ content, which is your enhanced content below the fold as well. Because Amazon's algorithm looks at all those things, because, as I said, you know, one of the main objectives is to be able to move product to the platform. So if your product is, you know, converting well, it's actually engaging the user and generating sales, you're going to be prioritized in the algorithm just for organic results. And beyond the organic results, the, you know, advertising is essential on Amazon, because to be able to prove that your products convert and they should be up there in the best sellers, you need to be able to drive traffic to those listings through the different ad formats that you can use across, as I have mentioned, you know, the sponsored brand videos, sponsored products, sponsored display as well. And you combine all of those things by having a solid foundation on your product pages, and also optimizing your advertising so you're driving the right audiences that actually want to buy these products and do buy these products. That's going to help you then escalate and drive more traffic to the listings.
Yep. How do you determine with your clients what Amazon services they should use? For example, Fulfilled by Amazon is one that I know a lot of individual sellers will use. It just takes the burden off of them as far as having to ship and those kind of things. Where are you steering your clients? Is there a certain breaking point to where they would use FBA versus not using FBA?
Well, I mean, we have both sellers and vendors as clients, and it depends where they're at, really, in their journey. It depends how big the brand are. I think we'd always almost, you know, recommend that we go the FBA route if you are a seller, because we can see the conversion rates are significantly higher. So you may be saving a little bit of margin by fulfilling your sales, but you're not going to be in prominent positions on Amazon, because the Amazon consumer does want, you know, same day delivery, next day delivery, and having that Prime badge there has a huge impact. So it depends where you're at. I think if you're looking to generate, you know, small amount of sales, experiment with Amazon, then maybe test out on the, you know, fulfilled by merchant option. If you're looking actually to grow, not just today, over the next years, then FBA is really important. When you get to a certain level of scale, you know, going down the vendor route, the first party route, working directly with Amazon does, you know, take a lot of the, you know, operations and logistics pressure off. So you can really just focus on the marketing, choosing the right mix of products and growing share within the category.
Yeah, so let's talk about product and category. Often you'll see Amazon sellers and they will talk about picking the right product. So looking at a product category, determining the ranking in that category, the number of sales, the number of reviews, and finding this sort of sweet spot where you want to be in, and you want to find a product that fits this particular niche and this particular range of numbers. And that's how you want to pick the product. Obviously, in the toy industry, you know, we're going to stay close to our roots, and we're going to promote toys. Are there toys and toy categories that perform better or worse on Amazon? Do you get into those kind of discussions with your clients about what kind of products belong on Amazon? I think the easy answer is anything belongs on Amazon. It doesn't exist if it's not on Amazon. But more nuanced than that, are there particular categories that work better in that Amazon environment?
Yes, I mean, yes, there definitely are. And we do have those conversations with our clients. So I think off the top of my head, you know, construction, that's a huge category. Play figures, obviously the difference between the UK and US, you know, you've got electronic toys as well. You've got vehicle toys, which are probably the top four across all of the different toy categories in there. And followed by that, you've got your costumes and a few of the other smaller categories. But we do use that data a lot, because we look, you know, by what we prioritize, right? Because, you know, you want to make sure that you're reaching the Amazon audiences with the right product at the right price point. So you can look, even as a seller right now, across those categories to see what are the top 100 sellers, what are they, you know, doing, what is their price point. There's a lot of clues within the reviews that the consumers leave as well. What do they like? What do they dislike about a certain product? Or, you know, is there a common theme across the entire category that shows that there's an opportunity there? So that data is so important, because it's all there. Amazon give it to you, but it allows us to prioritize the right products in the right categories to get, you know, get new customers into the brand. Because once they're into the brand, then we can look at, you know, other methods to be able to, you know, cross sell or upsell, look at, you know, retargeting them with other products, maybe similar or something that maybe that they may want to be back into the brand for.
Yeah, that has been the one thing that I think watching Amazon grow that has revolutionized just the retail industry in general. And that is the amount of data that you can now pull off your listing, pull off of other people's listings and discover. You know, previous to that, you were unable to do that. You really had a hard time looking into the books of another retailer and finding out who your competitors were and how much they were selling and all of that information. And now that on Amazon is wide open. So Nick, what data of all of this massive data that we now have access to, what are some of the key points of data that we should really be looking at to maximize our sales on Amazon?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I think Amazon give us so much data that we can't get on other platforms about purchasing decisions. And I think probably in two parts I'd answer that question. So I think Amazon actually provide us with some really useful data directly. You know, the data that I like the most within the brand analytics is really around how the consumer is actually shopping. You know, what products are they browsing? What do they compare it with? What do they end up buying. I think that information is really useful to us to see, you know, are there issues at a product level that means that we're losing, or we're losing that comparison to other brands, or are there other brands that have, you know, very, you know, similarities between ours that we also want to make sure that we're defending against and potentially targeting. Within brand analytics, there's also benchmarking reports, which are really useful to show us, you know, how do we compare against peers and across any different category in terms of, you know, impressions, click-through rate, traffic, conversion rates, sales as well. And that kind of gives us a pretty much a yardstick to say, okay, well, you know, performance is good, but it could be better, or we're actually doing a lot better than the industry. We need to keep it up. And so direct data from Amazon, really useful. Third-party data, as you said, there's a lot of tools out there that give you estimates. I mean, a lot of these you'll have to, you know, take with a pinch of salt. It'll be more of a in the right direction as opposed to, you know, super accurate data there. But with those, there are a few out there like Helium 10 and Jungle Scout that do that give you that competitor data, so you can kind of see who's winning across the different categories, where they're estimated sales, so that you can actually use that to also benchmark beyond the data that you get out of Amazon to show that, you know, what we're doing is actually, you know, growing and gaining incremental sales within the category.
Yep. We always like to talk about challenges on this show and hurdles to overcome. Right now in the Amazon selling environment, are there pinch points? Are there problems? Are there issues? Maybe it's in a particular category. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's in you know, getting customers to find your product. What are the biggest struggles of selling on Amazon? They have made it very, they've made it easy, right? They've made it over the years. They have made it very, very easy. But, you know, what are the kinks still to be worked out? What are the challenges?
I mean, look, there are always going to be challenges. And I think as a platform, I would say probably one of the challenges is if you're just getting into Amazon, it is a competitive space. And as much as you can optimize and choose the right products, you know, to really win in the category, you do need to invest in Amazon advertising. So with a new seller, I think it's okay. You may do okay, you may generate some sales, but if you want to kind of break into the category, advertising is an important element of it. I know when you are investing in advertising, you know there are a lot of margins that are getting taken out between referral fees and FBA fees and advertising, you know, taxes on top. So to be quite efficient, to be profitable on the platform, you do have to have a good understanding of how the platforms work, the algorithms, the advertising, to be able to make it profitable for you as a new seller. So I think those two points are probably more challenges for new sellers, given that you know, the competitive environment is, you know, is getting more and more. I think there are definitely challenges with I suppose customer services. I'll have to say, when you all do have issues where there are glitches in the platform, sometimes opening tickets or, you know, trying to get a response can take some time. So I think you have to dedicate some time to the retail, the management side of your products on the platform, as well as the marketing side of it. But I think those are more, you know, as well as immediately challenges, but with selling on the platform. But I think more macro or wider challenges that we have been seeing over the last, you know, 6-9 months is definitely on the supply chain side, getting stock into the platform, staying in stock. I think that's been one of the biggest challenges over the last 9 months or so.
Yeah. I'd like to dive into Amazon advertising a little more and understand more about that. Is that an infrastructure inside of Amazon that pushes advertisements out into the larger web? How does Amazon advertisement work?
Well, there are two parts to it. There is an advertising platform within the ecosystem, which is called Amazon Ads. And within that platform, you can actually, you know, pay, you know, do a PPC model similar to Google search, where you're advertising against keywords. You can advertise against specific products. You can advertise against categories and other brands. And I think that's what most sellers and vendors are familiar with. And there's a lot of different formats there. As I said, you know, there's the listings on search result pages. There are videos and search result pages. There are, you know, the regular brand ads at the top of the pages. But there's also display ads, which are, you know, the banners that you see next to the buy box, and you're seeing on some of the different product pages. And that's probably the starting point by advertising within the Amazon ecosystem. Amazon also have, you know, you can do direct buys directly with Amazon, and you can also, you know, sign up or if you work with an agency, look at their DSPs, which means that you can advertise off Amazon on their, you know, Comscore top 100 sites to be able to drive, you know, relevant audiences back into the platform and track all of that to see the impact of your different advertising activities. But the ecosystem is growing, getting more sophisticated, giving us a lot more data as well.
Yeah, there's that data again.
Yeah.
and how to process that.
Yeah.
It becomes the challenge. I think that's great. So take us through how you would work with a toy company. Work with VTech, Tomy, Mookie. A toy industry client approaches you. What are some of the first questions you ask? What are you leading them through? What are you telling them about? And what does 3Pipe Reply offer?
Yeah. So, I mean, look, I guess we work with different businesses in different capacities, depending on what their overall objectives are, you know, where they want to be today, you know, next year, you know, what their long-term objectives are as well. So I think we start with an initial conversation to understand where they want to get to. Beyond that, I think it's with us. You know, as I said, you know, we have access to a lot of data. We do an audit of their catalog, the industry, to work out from our experience, you know, what is the actual potential based on the data that we're seeing to be able to reach those objectives. I think it's relatively straightforward, you know, based on that, you know, based on the analysis that we do, the due diligence in the category, we then come up with more of a strategic plan and all the tactics underneath there that we need to carry out over a period of time. We try to plan for, you know, not just now, but, you know, this year, next year, and beyond to be able to support those objectives overall. And usually the mix will be, you know, some element of prioritization of what we focus on, the element of, you know, optimization of the listings, the brand story we spoke about earlier, and then support that with wider media investment as well, so the advertising. And then beyond that, we provide forecasts in terms of from what we know, where do we think we can get that brand over a period of time. You know, as an agency, you know, we look at performance pretty regularly. You know, we check in against, you know, how we're working across those objectives to, you know, refine or fine tune. Not everything works; some things don't. But it's about reacting to what we understand to be able to continue to improve what we do on the platform.
Yeah, yeah. And outside of those large companies, I have a large listening audience of inventors and product developers and just creative and savvy people. Can you help them as well? If they have an idea, they want to dip their toe into Amazon on a smaller level with a product or a product line. Is that something that you welcome those conversations?
We always welcome conversations. I think, you know, we work with large brands, but we've also taken on a few challenger brands in the past where we think that there is an opportunity there, in which case we're happy to have that initial conversation. I mean, in a lot of instances, I think maybe those conversations are a little bit too early. We can provide some, you know, some consultancy, maybe some recommendations, or even kind of a roadmap of important actions that they need to take beyond, you know, as a foundational activity before, you know, enlisting help with an agency or consultant. So, you know, we're open. We're always open to conversations. We never say no. I think, and we generally start from there to see what we think the opportunity is.
Perfect. I always like to wrap up the show looking into the future, and you've got your eye on the ball. What does the future of Amazon sales look like? Are there technologies that are coming down the pipe that we can tap into that we should be ready for, even developing product specifically to take advantage of? What's the future of Amazon?
Well, I mean, I think it's going to continue to grow. If you look at the wider data, there's consistent growth in toy industry, but also a lot of other industries as well. as I said, you know, Amazon is in a prime spot that, you know, they have the most data available on the consumer. So they are launching, you know, new features all the time that allows you to be able to reach the consumer in a different way. So, you know, it's hard to tell what the next feature will be, but we do expect that there will be, you know, a lot more targeting options going forward. We can, you know, one of the things that we're expecting is that the some of the ad formats on the platform will then extend off the platform as well. We expect that over time, even if you look now, between what the Amazon search result page looked like 2 years ago versus what it looks like today, we can see that there probably be a few more changes as well there to help the consumer discover new products, discover new brands on the platform. So it's just about being on there and getting started if you're not already, and just, you know, looking at what's there to continue to improve from a product perspective, from a marketing perspective as well.
That's great. More competition, but also more ability to compete, which is the way you want to grow and the way we can grow our brand. So, Nick, this has been an absolute blast. How can people reach out to you, find out more about 3Pipe Reply, and get involved if they've got questions about Amazon? How do they reach out?
Yeah, I can send to my LinkedIn or just drop me an email directly.
This has been a ton of fun. I've got a lot more questions. Maybe we can take those after the show. But this has been great. Thank you for coming on and sharing your knowledge on Amazon.
Great. Well, thank you for having me on. It's definitely been fun.
It's great. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you for tuning in to the Power Kid podcast. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll never miss an episode. Leave 5 stars and a written review, as this helps us connect with more listeners just like you. Once you're subscribed, you'll be able to check out the other shows from Adventure Media and Events. And a big thank you to them. They are the publishers of the Toy Book, the Toy Insider, and the Pop Insider. We've got you covered on all toy industry news and events. This show is produced by Power Kid Design and Development. We are a full-service toy and game development studio serving the industry for more than 20 years. We provide illustration, branding, packaging, sculpting, prototyping, consulting, and much more. Check out powerkiddesign.com or email me at phil@powerkiddesign.com. Now go out and make something great, and remember, you are creative because you were created. God bless, and I'll see you next episode.